Hey, hello and welcome to this week's Comic Roast. I am your host, Scott. You can find me on Twitter at XorsonX. I'm here with Brian. You can find on Twitter at Pure Rock Fury. And we're here with Damian. You can find on Twitter at Damian Johnston. Our number one for the week is The Dregs on Black Mask Studios. This is actually was something I wanted to pick a few weeks ago, but people claimed they couldn't get it. Chris! And, well, Brian too, whatever. But anywho, this Black Mask, written by Zach Thompson and Lonnie Nadler. It was drawn by Eric Zawadzki and colored by D. Knife. I probably butchered that last one. I'm sorry. But anywho, that's the number one. And our over-under for today is things to do with your tax returns if you're so lucky to get one. Dun, dun, dun. Other than that, you can check out all of our past episodes at comicroast.com, and you can check out all of our written reviews on movies, TV shows, books, comics, games, board games, video games at reviewandroast.com, and you can buy movie tickets there, which I say all the time, and I sometimes forget, so...
Circles the globe in search of a listener. Can you hear me now?
Moving on, this was Valentine's Day week for all of you lovers out there. My Valentine's Day consisted of me going to work, coming home, eating dinner, and going to bed at like 7:30 because I literally was like, I just don't feel like doing nothing, so I'm just going to go to bed. That was super fun.
Awesome.
Yeah, I do that every couple of months because I'm just like, well, I mean, I have a ton of video games I can play. I have board games that you can play by yourself. I've got a ton of movies I need to watch, a bunch of books I need to read. I have, you know, my little quote-unquote recording studio down there where I'm going to start putting together my masterpiece album once I finally get off my ass. I have like a quarter of one song written, so that's pretty dope. But instead of doing any of the stuff I always think I wish I was at home doing while I'm at work, I just went to bed like a piece of shit.
Jesus.
Right? Well, you know, you sit at work all day and I'm like, man, I would love to go home. I got so many books to read. It's gotten to the point where I go to Barnes & Noble. I'm like, man, I don't even want to buy any more books because I have so many on the shelf that I still need to read. So I've been restraining from buying anything new. And it's just like, and then once I get home, and it's like, ugh, this place sucks. But hey, yay. Yeah, I didn't really do shit this week, so I got nothing.
I don't know why, but I started watching Cheers on Amazon.
That's weird.
Okay.
And, well, because, like, I never really watched it. I'd walk buy it while it was on, you know, on a rerun or something, and I never thought to sit down and watch it. And it's, like, still to this day one of the most revered sitcoms ever. So I was like, there's got to be a reason why people love this show so much. It's got to be something. So I sat down, I started watching the first season, and I mean, I kind of get it. The writing for 1981's pretty good. But, like, it's not like the jokes are so sharp and amazing. They're timeless where it's like, oh, my God. I kind of almost feel like you have to live in Boston to appreciate it in a way. I don't know if I'm wrong or not, though, because I'm getting the vibe that no one else has really ever watched Cheers either.
Well, I mean, the jokes aren't going to be super relevant. You realize that it is almost 40 years old.
No, I'm not looking for relevancy. Oh. I'm just looking for the jokes to be, like, perfect example is, like, Chappelle's Show. You know, it's going on 15 years old now. Still super hilarious, though.
True.
I mean, even the jokes, I mean, granted, you play it for somebody now who was like 4 when George Bush was president, they're not going to get all the Bush references, but they're still going to get like the cadence and the setups and all that stuff, and it's going to be funny, I think. But I'm not going to say that Cheers hasn't aged well, because I don't think I've seen yet enough of it yet to really know. In the same way, I kind of get why it's so beloved, because I think the writing is really pretty good for that time. I mean, if you think about other sitcoms from that era, they're all like super cheesy, and this one was definitely a little bit more sophisticated. So yeah, I started watching Cheers.
Okay, I loved it when I was a kid, man. I thought it was great. I watched the Cheers and Night Court duo all the time.
I loved Night Court. I never watched Cheers. I mean, I shouldn't say never, but I didn't make a point of it. Like, if it was on, I would space out, kind of watch it kind of deal. But I used to love Night Court.
I feel like the jokes or the writing in Cheers was definitely more for adults without being, like, scatological or just whatever, like, too filthy. Like, the writing's not filthy at all, but I do feel like just the conversations are not going to appeal to an 8-year-old. Whereas, like, the conversations on, like, Three's Company might not either, but the antics will make up for it, where there's really no antics to speak of on Cheers. It's very conversational, so if you don't understand what they're talking about, it's going to completely go over your head.
Yeah, they really put the sit in sitcom, the whole the situational part, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it literally is just, it's just conversations in a bar. That's all it is. That's the entire, like, spectrum of the show. So, like, when Diane's talking about Chaucer, you're like, what? I don't fucking know what that guy is. Or they're referencing, like, weird baseball players from the 70s. Like, no kid now is going to be like, oh, dude, I totally remember that guy with the mustache. They're not going to fucking have any clue, so. Yeah. So, here you go. Cheers, all right.
Nice.
Sweet.
Gosh. I guess I'll repeat what I was saying before the show. I've been watching Powerless, which I thought is pretty adorable. And we'll see how it goes, but I've been enjoying that. And then I also watched Legion, the first one of those.
I have been hearing it's really good.
Yeah, it's different than I thought it was going to be.
Is that a show?
It is. Yeah, it's the new Legion. It's the new like Marvel X-Men show or whatever.
It's on FX.
Oh, that's why I don't know about it.
It's
it's if you have Hulu, you can watch it now too, which is what I had to do.
Hmm.
Perfect. Because the guy that's the showrunner is that Noah Hawley guy, the guy that does Fargo. That's why I was, like, really interested. But he also has a novel out that I just saw, like, a week ago. I guess he wrote some, like, weird, like, noir tale or something, and I saw the book, and I was like, is this the same guy? And yeah, it's totally him. So that's on my list.
Nice. Yeah, that it was pretty good. I was really... I don't know, I feel like I need to watch it a second time. It's a lot. There's a lot going on. But it's great. It's got the girl who played the sister... the Gerhardt sister in this, and also the woman from whose name is escaping right now, from like Designing Woman, who's also the matriarch of the Gerhardts in Fargo season 2.
Jean Smart.
Yeah, Jean Smart. That's it.
Yeah, yeah, Brian used to have a thing for that show.
No, what do you mean used to? I would happily watch Designing Women right now.
Well, I am digging it. I fully recommend that. I would. I think you would. I think you guys would enjoy it. It's very. It's like almost like a Stanley Kubrick TV show.
So
it's
it's
very strange.
If this stuff is on Hulu, does that mean it's going to be Hulu exclusive when it's all, like, said and done? Like, it'll never be on Netflix?
No, I don't know the answer to that, because there's stuff that's on Netflix is also on Hulu.
Because I know like Fargo, for instance, is not on Netflix, is it?
It's on Hulu though.
Right, exactly, yeah, my point. So. But like, I'm just saying, if that's FX's MO.
I think the only FX show on Netflix is Sunny and Sons of Anarchy, and then Justified is only on Amazon.
Right.
I think Hulu does get some of the FX stuff while it's on, though.
So I wonder...
They have Baskets, they have Tyrant, which I still have to watch.
I wonder if the FX just does their stuff on a show-by-show basis instead of the whole network. Either way, I don't know. I'm still not fully sold on Hulu. But I just I figure the way I see it is between Netflix and Amazon, there's more than enough that I'll never be able to watch anyway. So whatever. Like, I just finished Z, The Beginning of Everything on Prime, which was just a 10-episode season about F. Scott Fitzgerald and his wife Zelda and how they met
stuff.
It was actually really really interesting. I liked it a lot. But so I finished that, and now I'm just moving over to Netflix, and I started The OA the other day. Not sure how I feel about it, but I still, like, I feel like every time I log on the Netflix, there's, like, 8 new shows. It's like, dude, come on. You're really producing that much? So I feel like even if I got Hulu, I don't know if I would ever use it. I feel like there's more than enough on the two that I do have that where I don't need a third, I guess. But I am interested in the streaming only CBS thing for when they get that Star Trek up and running.
That's going to be on Netflix too, though.
Is it?
Yes, it is.
I thought it was just going to be on. They changed it, huh?
I guess it's going to come out like week to week on the CBS thing, and then like after like a couple. I don't know if it's like after the full eight, the full season, it's going to just pop on Netflix right away or whatever. But Netflix is getting it.
Wow, they had to pay an arm and a leg for that, I'd imagine. Oh. Plus, I was just on there the other day, and now there's a new movie with Bob Odenkirk where he's like a failed. He used to be like the best lovey-dovey greeting card writer on the planet, and then he just like fell from grace, and now he's trying to climb his way back to the top for some weird contest. To
Girlfriend
write.
Day?
Yes.
That's right, yeah, that's a holiday.
Yeah. Ooh. I kind of want to. I mean, it's only like an hour and 20 minutes, so I'm probably going to watch that soon.
That reminds me, too. I watched that Neil Brennan stand-up special, Three Mics. Has anyone else watched that?
No.
Mm-mm.
Oh, my God. It's so good.
It's on my watch list. I just haven't done it yet.
I mean, I'm not going to say, like, only. I mean, Neil Brennan was he was like the head writer on Chappelle's Show or whatever. And he was like Dave Chappelle's former best friend. I guess they're kind of friends again now, but like for a long time they didn't talk. But he literally has three mics on stage, and he does three different acts, like, simultaneously. He starts out on the far... Well, he starts out on the far left side, and he does, like, a handful of one-liners, like, kind of corny one-liners. Then he moves all the way to the other side of the stage, and then he does, like, 10, 15 minutes of stand-up. Then he moves to the middle and just does this talk about clinical depression and growing up in a household of 10 kids and just this crazy story of... his dad and stuff, and how, like, it's really good. It's funny, and then it's, like, super brutally honest. It's fucking so good. I loved it. I forgot all about it. I guess I didn't love it that much. But, yeah, I totally recommend it. It's way better than I was expecting.
That sounds awesome. I'll check it out. I like that. I do remember that guy was quite funny back in the day.
Oh, yeah, he's definitely still funny, but, like, when he gets like, into his personal life, that's kind of almost my favorite part of the show.
Interesting. Well, I guess that sums up the weeks. You want to move on into the number one?
Sure.
Well, absolutely. There we go. Well, that was The Dregs on Black Mask. That was Damien's pick, so we'll let him go nuts.
Yeah, so, you know, Black Mask is one of these, you know, to me, a newer comic, you know, label thing that I'm labeled publisher. I'm sorry. I'm in, like, band mode. I've really been enjoying, like, a lot of what's come on there. There's been some stuff I thought was real kind of duds, but, you know, in general, it's been, everything's been pretty interesting, and I don't think this is really an exception. I'd say the story is kind of, it was surprisingly like a gumshoe, like, private detective thing with a starring a homeless person.
It's pretty good, yeah.
Yeah, it's based in a Vancouver, which gentrification and development has pushed people really far to the side, like to the sides of society. So it looks like they've just like in Seattle and probably other places, things like homelessness has really increased and crime is kind of gaining ground. And at the same time that all these other buildings are being pushed away and things are going away. And amongst all this, there seems to be some sort of criminal underground in which homeless people are being turned into food. and in a very, like, kind of shockingly brutal way for a first issue of a comic.
Yep.
So it was pretty interesting. I mean, I don't know what else I would describe besides that. There's definitely a very strong, you know, like I said, gumshoe sort of thing going on. Like, it's... Whereas in this case, you know, instead of, like, having the Sam Spade kind of character narrating, he's almost, like, being, like, a homeless person kind of allows him to sort of talk to himself and...
Yeah.
Like, not exactly be totally certain as to what's going on around him. It's interesting.
Yeah, it's definitely not what I expected when I picked it up because, you know, like you said, with the homeless being turned into food, like that's literally the first two pages. It's just this guy getting his head shaved, his teeth pulled, and they shoot him up with whatever the new drug in town is. And then they chop his head off, hang him upside down. And it's funny, too, because like the first panel, they're just like drawing the lines on him like you would like a cow for like the piece of like what cuts of meat they are. And he's just standing there and they're like stripping this guy naked and he's just standing there and he's kind of oblivious, but then yeah. It's and of course it goes right upstairs to the fancy restaurant where, you know, it's a shitty area, but they started putting in these little expensive cafes so that, you know, it's kind of like, you know, what it does, you know, they let these neighborhoods go to shit. The wealthy people buy up all the property and then slowly but surely they start moving the rich in and moving the poor to the side. So I think it's going to be like the beginnings of that. But in the process, this guy's friend went missing, which is where all the detective work comes in. But I'm not going to say and name names or anything, but the star of the book, Mr. God, I forget his last name. I'm sorry. But
Arnold?
Something like that. I don't remember. Because the one guy kept trying to wake him up, and they kept saying his name. But really reminds me, not so much the homeless side, but like the demeanor, plus the fact that he like loves to read, and he sometimes looks a little disheveled. He kind of reminds me of somebody I know. And like if this ever made a movie, I know who I would cast. I'm assuming by the laughter, Brian knows who I'm talking about.
Yep.
And by my,
you know what, he'd probably be like, hell yeah.
Oh, he would totally be into it, but just because he's not on the show and whatever, I don't want to name names, but he's a great dude, but he fits this role. Like, because we've talked about this kind of shit a lot where, you know, well, whatever, just, I really enjoyed the book.
No, I actually, I was like, I'm in this period now where like Black Mask puts something out and I just go, ugh, here we go, one issue every 6 months for the next 10 years, this is gonna be awesome,
right?
Yeah, when is Four Kids in a Bank number 3 coming out?
That's not even out yet. Oh my god,
I haven't seen it.
I just remember I got X'd number 4 like a month ago and I'm like, they're still doing this? Oh my god, I forgot all about this book. I put it in my box over a year ago. Yeah, so I was like, I don't want to get into another Black Mask book that's never going to finish or come out or whatever. But plus that one we just did a while back was really, ugh.
Which one?
The Skeptics or whatever.
Yeah, I didn't really like that.
That book was terrible.
Yeah, I did not like that. There's some other, The Forevers or whatever.
I've heard.
I can't remember what it's called. I didn't like that either.
Yeah, and I didn't even read it, but I think Chris was saying it was really bad. This one was pretty awesome, though, I got to say. Like, it was basically Boxcar Willie noir, which I was really kind of stoked on. Well, it's just like, it does kind of, I just like the fact that rather than just like, let's examine homelessness as a societal problem, they kind of gave this homeless person like an identity and a personality, and, you know, you get to know his interests. I mean, he's a fictional character, but I don't know. I just thought that was pretty cool. And this guy's like, you know, he's obviously on the outs of society, but he still reads. He's still fully like self-aware and so on. He's conscious of what's going on and what's the cause of his problems and other people like him and stuff. And yeah, the whole, like, you know, he's making references to Mike Hammer. He's making references to Philip Marlowe and stuff. I just thought that was really neat. And because when it first started, I was like, is this going to be some weird cannibalism book? But that's kind of just like a background detail. And instead, like you said, it was a new twist on the tried and true gumshoe story, which I thought was pretty cool.
And the writing, just a homeless dude looking for his friend.
And I have a feeling.
I love that stuff.
Oh, I agree. I read it twice because when I picked it a few weeks ago, I bought it, but no one else apparently was able to find it. Whatever the case was, so I was just like, well, that sucks. I really would have liked to do it. So when you picked it again, I was like, oh hell yeah, because now I get to read it again and. I totally thought it was awesome then, so, and I still think it's awesome.
Yeah, it had a little bit of, like, you know, the standard Raymond Chandler style of mystery story. Had a little bit of horror, a little bit of Hobo with a Shotgun.
Yeah, a little bit.
I
forgot about that movie.
Well, the artwork was phenomenal, too, and I liked, like, behind the panels was always just like the maps of the city and the different streets, which was just, it added to the book because, you know, the first couple of pages, they kind of explain, very quickly how the neighborhood went to shit and they pushed all these people into this 5-block area called the Dregs. Dun, dun, dun.
Oh, yeah, I should have mentioned that.
Oh, you kind of went there. But, yeah, I thoroughly enjoyed it. And if we're ready to go number-wise, we can... Brian shrugs. I'm assuming Damien probably shrugged. So I'm going to go 8.5. I really like this book, and I'm definitely going to keep going as long as it comes out in a timely manner.
I will not.
Yeah, right.
I will not do that because of that reason alone. I will also give it an 8.5, and I will happily wait for the trade to come out and buy that without hesitation. I will not waste my money on single issues of this, though, because it is Black Mask, and I don't trust them anymore.
You hurt me too many times, Black Mask. Yeah, no, I also wrote down 8.5, so we're all in agreement on this one. I think it's great. If the single issues come out and I remember them, I will probably pick it up again, but I will definitely, I would certainly, you know, wait for a trade.
Yeah, it's the first time we've been unanimous since, like, issue one of The Dying and the Dead or whatever. That only came out with 2 issues.
Yeah, this was really, like, way better than I expected.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was really, I definitely liked it. I liked the fact that the artist kind of is influenced by Eduardo Risso without ripping him off. Because I love Eduardo Risso.
What's he do?
That name's really from Moonshine currently, 100 Bullets.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
I think he's done some Batman stuff. Yeah, he did. Him and Brian Azzarello did Broken City. So, yeah, he's from Brazil, I think. I just love that guy's artwork. And if I'm not mistaken, I think Brian Azzarello says he and Eduardo Risso, they communicate through Google Translate because Eduardo Risso doesn't speak English and he doesn't speak...
I think it's Portuguese.
Portuguese, okay. Yeah, whatever language, there's a language barrier there, so they use Google Translate to talk to one another about story ideas.
It's kind of neat.
I think.
That's cool.
I could be wrong, but...
Well, alrighty then. Well, there you have it, everybody. The Dregs. It's definitely something you might want to check out because there you go. Unanimous 8.5. So, man, this feels like we're super blowing through this show today. So that's kind of neat. But over under, things to do with your tax returns. Now, if you're like me, you don't get much back. So it's, you know, whatever. It's not a ton of money to play with, but I'm going to go overrated is the whole, you know, treat yourself, you know, run out and buy whatever it is you want, because I feel like American culture, the way it is, people do that regardless if they get tax returns. You know what I mean? Like, if somebody wants a 55-inch 3D TV, they're going to find a way to get it. Like, this is the culture of now, and everybody always treats themselves. And so I feel like blowing your tax returns on a bunch of stuff is really no big deal because that's what everyone seems to do anyway with their money.
All right. Mine overrated is going on a vacation. Not that I think that going on a vacation is bad, but if you're waiting on your tax returns to be able to go on a vacation, that probably means that, you're hoping that you're going to get a certain amount back to go on a vacation you want, which may or may not happen, and B, it means that really you can't afford to go on a vacation otherwise, which I feel like if you're like scrounging to go on like a vacation just to go, it's not going to be quite as enjoyable as if you can like plan something out for a while and really go on the kind of trip you want.
Because if you don't get enough back, what happens when you run out of money in the midweek?
Well, I just think like you're going like, please, Puerto Rico, please, I want to go to Puerto Rico. And then you get like a third back of what you thought. And then you're like, all right.
Indiana Beach.
Yeah. Here I come. We're going to Grand Rapids, Michigan for 4 days. It's going to be nowhere near as awesome, but I hear they have an outlet mall.
Actually, I wouldn't mind going there for their art thing. I forget what it's called. They have an art festival every year.
I'll go to that.
Yeah. It basically, not to throw a whole wrench into the over-under, but there was actually quite a bit of quote-unquote millionaires up in the Grand Rapids area. And the one kid, when he inherited the money from his parents, they're still super not excited about it. But instead of doing something and being a businessman or whatever, he puts on this contest every year. God, I wish I could remember the name of it. But the whole downtown Grand Rapids is turned into an art display where people can sign up, be entered into this contest, and then the winner gets, like, you know, $20,000 prize at the end of the week. So people from all over the world come, they walk around, and then they vote on what piece they think is the best, and it's supposed to be a pretty kicking good time.
Kicking good time.
Well, I don't know what to say, but when I first read about it a few years ago, I was like, dude, I should go check this out. It's only like a 4.5 hour drive, but I got nowhere to stay when I go there, so.
Days in.
Right? Well.
Motel 6.
The parent company for the company I work for is in Grand Rapids, so maybe I can. Can I stay in the office? You know, who knows?
Well, it is. I'm going to go ahead and agree that it's super disappointing that he does something that tries to be like culturally fulfilling rather than, you know, building another strip mall, which we always
rather than screwing the poor a little more.
We always need another strip mall or another office park. I don't know what that guy's thinking, but, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
To each his own.
Exactly.
Piece of shit.
I'm sorry. Didn't mean to throw a wrench there, but you can go ahead with your overrated.
Okay. Is Two Rivers, Wisconsin. Do you guys know where that is? That's not too far from you, I believe.
I mean, I've never heard of it, but I mean, Wisconsin itself is an hour and a half. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think this place is about 3 hours from you guys. You're talking about Grand Rapids. I was thinking about vacations. I was like, you know where I would like to go is Two Rivers, because there's actually a letterpress museum there called the Hamilton Woodpipe Museum.
That's neat.
And it's cool. I'd very much like to go there. So yes, I would like to use my tax return on going there, but I won't. My overrated is something that I'm going to do with my tax return, which is I'm going to pay off a bunch of bills, and it's stupid.
I was leaving that one open because that's actually what I did with mine.
I love how you're like, this is exactly what I'm doing, but it's dumb. That's what I did every year, and you know what? The bills never go away. I just wasted fucking, in my case, $1,200. Well, now it's $500 because I get penalized for not having insurance, but...
Oh, yeah.
Yay me.
Well, being a dad, having a couple kids, and I also have I have them take as much out of my check as they can. Like, I think I have zero exemptions on my tax return.
Yeah.
So I get actually quite a bit back at the end of the year, which is nice. I mean, it's not like a ridiculous amount of money, but it's enough where I'm like, whew, okay, nice. It's almost like I'd definitely say it's better than my wife and I just split it. Although I'm pretty sure that, well, I don't know. We just basically split it, and it's definitely like better than an extra paycheck. So
yeah. That's nice.
So it's totally nice. Yeah, it's super nice. But this year I am paying off one big debt, and then I think at that point I'll only be about $3,000 in debt total.
Wow.
And when I first met my wife, which going on 12 years ago now, when she met me I was $20,000 in debt. So I've been slowly paying it off, and I'm almost out entirely.
I mean, that's awesome, but I wish I was $20,000 in debt.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Wow. Like, Jesus, dude, I'll take that all fucking day long.
Well, I don't have any, you know, I didn't go to school or anything. I don't have any college expenses.
Yeah,
smart. I don't know if that's where your debt comes from mostly, but.
Mostly.
Well, yeah. You know, that, and then I did a lot of dumb things with credit cards, but a lot of that was also books for college, driving, you know, because I drove to school. I didn't take the train or anything. So parking and gas and books and supplies.
Yeah.
Not to say that it was all that. I did do some dumb shit with my credit cards, but yeah, most of my debt is school. Yeah.
Or yeah. It's like school and the school related. Seems like it's like not just the school itself, but everything that surrounds your need to go to school.
Right.
It'd be really nice if we got, you know, just thinking about Trump as president. And I knew Bernie Sanders was never going to be president, but
right.
Thinking about that, sometimes I'm just like, you know, it'd be so nice if we were working towards free college for everyone, and that's what like Republicans are freaking out about, as opposed to a guy like actually trying to specifically ban one religion from the country.
Right.
Yeah, it would have been nice.
Yeah, it's just weird. I can't wrap my brain around a lot of the stuff that he does. I really can't. But whatever. That's a whole nother show, I guess.
Yeah. I think it's gonna be a note on many shows forever.
Yeah. Side note, I don't understand this president or how it came to be. Well, I kind of understand how it came to be, but I'm losing track here. Underrated for me, which, whatever. See, here's the thing. Like I said, I didn't get much back. I got a little over $500, and I was like, ooh, I can get a 3D printer, which I've always wanted but could never really afford. And now I can just do it. But I don't know if I want to spend the whole bit on a 3D printer. So then at work yesterday or the other day, I was like, oh, you know what? I can finally start listening to my records again. So I'll just get the turntable I've always wanted, and I'll get a couple of nice little bookshelf speakers, and I'll make a nice little vinyl area for my listening pleasure. And then I was like telling my buddy at work about it, and he's like, ooh, why don't you be like a man about it and get a tube amp for your record player? I'm like, that sounds great. How do I do that? So I'm looking, and I find this like nice little inexpensive tube amp. I find the speakers I want, the turntable I want, and it pretty much will cover my entire tax returns. So I'm like, oh, do I really want to blow all of it on this too? And I'm like, you know what? Just going to save it. So my underrated is just save it.
Yeah.
It's a really weak thing to say, but here's the thing.
Super weak.
Because they don't give you paper checks anymore. You either have to have it direct deposited, or they put it on like an American Express gift card, more or less, for you. So that's what I did. Yeah, so I now have an American Express card in my wallet, which I was going to do where originally I was like, oh, I'll just use this throughout the year. Like, oh, Iron Maiden's in town, I want to go. Boom, $50. Oh, this guy's in town, I want to go see it. Boom, $30. You know what I mean? And just use that to go to stuff. But it's just like, you know what? If I just hold out next year when I get another 500, then I'll have 1,000. You know what I mean? The year after that, I'll get another 500. Boom, I got $1,500. I mean, whatever. Until I really, because let's face it, how often am I really going to sit around listening to my records? Maybe once a week? Is it really worth $500 to do that? I don't know.
That's a good point.
I mean, it is, but it's not. You know what I mean? Like, I bought my guitar over, I don't know, 6-8 months ago. And for the first couple of weeks, like, I played it every fucking day.
You bought it a year ago.
Well, there you go. I bought it a year ago. So for the first, like, 2 months, I played it every day. I ordered a couple of pedals. But I haven't touched it in, like, 2 months. You know what I mean? So did I really need to spend that? I still want to play it. I'm glad that I have it. But I don't play it every day like I used to. I should, but I don't. So, instead of willy-nilly just blowing the money on the first thing that pops into my head, why don't I just wait until I either really, really need it or really, really want something, I guess is my point. Not saving it because it's not going to, like, $500 ain't going to make or break my fucking retirement kind of thing, you know what I mean? But why blow it on the first thing that comes across my brain just because I can, you know what I mean?
That was a super fun answer, Grandma.
Yeah, I know. Right? And when you come to my house on Halloween, I'm giving you fucking pennies. So deal with that.
Oh, right? The pennies wrapped in foil.
I was just saying, make sure you draw a face on the ghost before you hand it to me.
Right.
All right. Well, mine is a pipe dream because it'll never happen. But if it ever does, I'll be super pumped when you see me riding by on my Vespa.
If you take my route, you could.
What's that?
Save it. Then yeah, next year, save it some more.
What if I got the whole thing and it was enough to buy a Vespa?
Boom. Boom, done.
Or if it was just enough to put a down payment on a Vespa that I could theoretically afford.
You could theoretically do that now. It would probably would not cost you more than like $80 to $100 a month.
I can't afford that right now. But.
How do you think I feel?
I really, 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 really want to get, and I want to get like an ugly Vespa. I want like a weird, like a light pea green kind of Vespa with a brown seat and a basket. I want it to be the most obnoxious one ever because I want everybody to like look at me and even like point and laugh when they see me go by because I want to have the goggles and the super like obnoxiously long scarf that blows in the wind as I'm going 45 and a 60.
Should have just bought Brian's then.
His was like all fancy and like. Looked like a motorcycle. I want like something that looked like a 90-year-old woman would drive. And I want something where like the seat opens up so when I go to the comic book store I can put all the stuff I buy in there and then put the seat back down and then drive around. And I really want to drive around like listening to like, you know, death spiritual healing while driving around this old lady scooter. I'm all about contrast. I don't want flames on the side. I want like a picture of like you know, a bird or something weird.
Tulips on one side.
And not
side.
A cool, like, hawk. I want, like, a
bee on it.
Yeah, like a hummingbird or a fucking little blue whatever. Something weird.
Make it seem like you're one of those people who's, like, who had, like, a very close pet die. And then the whole Vespa's, like, themed for that pet.
That's funny.
That would be awesome. Yeah, I want to drive it to work. Because I want my Vespa to stand out amongst all these BMWs and stuff.
I think it's a good idea.
Yeah, so one day, maybe it'll happen.
Hmm. Man, that's... Yeah, I like that. You kind of sold me on the Vespa. I see you get it.
Well, hopefully someday.
I'm pulling for you.
Thank you.
Thanks. For me, I don't really have anything very good. I'm very excited to, like... I always sit there and I put together, like, all the things I have to do, like paying bills and debts I need to pay off and all that boring shit. I never think about, like, what's... Or, I mean, I do think about what something that would be fun to do. It's like, ooh, you know, I'll buy the VR setup for the PS4 or whatever. Because that looks fun.
True.
But, you know, I won't do that. I don't know. So I guess I'm... Yeah, for me, underrated would be just doing something, like, picking that one cool thing and just going for it. The whole, you know, kind of going to the opposite of what Scott said about the treat yourself thing. But I don't want to really do that either because I don't get a lot of satisfaction out of that. Like,
you do, like, for like a day or two.
Yeah.
And then you're like, why did I do that?
Yeah, like I'd rather have the, the feeling of security that having a little extra money has as opposed to the feeling I have for the rest of the 11 months of the year where I'm just constantly terrified and want to die.
Sometimes I think it's just me, and I realize I'm not alone.
It's a familiar feeling.
When you're sitting...
Yeah, so.
It's the American dream at this point, because that's really what most people feel.
Well, not everybody, but...
But, yeah, that's the thing. I don't. I guess for me, underrated would be knowing what I want to do. I just don't know that. I have no clue.
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess I'll see what ends up happening. I know something's going to come up, and I'll be like, oh, thank God I had that extra money.
Right.
I mean, it's not even extra money. It's just, you know, money that you were given back because I'm just so fucking poor. But I also have kids. Because I'll tell you, man, having kids on that tax return, that adds a lot of money to the return.
Can you imagine if you had a house on top of it?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, that's where things really start to get nuts.
Right? Yeah, the people who can really afford a house, not to say they don't need that money back, but don't you think people like me could buy a house if I got that much back?
Yeah, I mean, certainly, it's nuts. It's a whole other world.
Yeah, a whole other world I will never know.
I don't think I'll ever know it either. It'd be nice to own a home, but, I mean, at this point, like, it would be, maybe my grandkids will, like, come see my new house one day when Graham and Pop are out of the fucking apartment that we've been in for 45 years.
I don't know. Like, I almost feel like at this point, renting costs almost as much as a mortgage, except you don't have to pay the taxes.
Yeah, and if your refrigerator breaks, someone buys you a new refrigerator. It's not you.
Right. Plus, I also feel like by the time I can afford a house, I'll be in like my 60s, and no one's going to give a 30-year loan to a 67-year-old dude. You know what I mean? Like, dude, you're way too old. You're never paying us off. We ain't giving you shit.
Yeah.
Because I'm not going to have 200 grand to put down. You know what I mean? It's just going to be like, oh, you want to put down 10 grand on a fucking $200,000 house? Like, yeah. Sorry.
I like how you think you're going to have 10 grand someday.
Or the houses will be that cheap ever again.
Yeah. Hey, I didn't say it was going to be a nice house. It could be a piece of shit somewhere. You know what I mean? In the dregs. Nailed it.
The, my friends, they bought a condo, and that's a whole fucking nightmare as well. Like, it was pretty cheap, and they got in a nice neighborhood, relatively to what a house would cost. Like, they're able to still live in Seattle. And they moved in this condo, and but they had to, like, redo the floors, they do all the stuff. But once you, like, go into a condo, you're part of a condo board.
Mm-hmm.
And then now that's a whole fucking thing. So now they've just had their house for, their condo or whatever for, I think, a year now. And they are expected and required to pay this thing for the whole condo to be done. And it's this insane amount of money. It's like $20,000 or something they need to come up with.
That's ridiculous.
They're redoing the entire outside of the building, like all the walls and the roof and everything.
Yeah, that's so insane.
And they, I was like, wait, what? What the fuck? I got to pay this now? I just got this thing. Like, we just got our... You know, we just had, like, this is where our money went, was to get this, and now we need to come up with more money? Like,
I feel
what
the
fuck?
I feel like that's why you pay dues and association fees, because that kind of shit is supposed to come out of that money. But I have heard stories like that, where they're like, yeah, we want to redo the parking lot, so everyone needs to chip in 10 grand. Like, what? That doesn't even make any sense.
Yeah, someone who lived in the condo with them is like, all right, well, I guess I'm selling.
Yeah, I would have like, to.
That was their option.
I would have to sell too. There's no way. Well, I mean, I'd never buy a condo because I couldn't afford it. But well, the sad part is I found a really cool one, 5 minutes from work. It was $90,000, right in the heart of downtown LaGrange, which obviously you don't know what that is, but it's a neat little downtown area. It would have been literally across the alley from the comic book store.
Oh my gosh.
And the simple fact that it was $90,000. And if you didn't know how much debt I had and I told you how much money I made, you'd be like, oh, that's decent. Yeah, I couldn't afford it.
Damn.
But anywho, enough about me being depressing. So I guess there you have it. Let's try to lighten the mood up, I guess, with best thing ever. And I'm kind of torn. Yeah. So if someone else wants to go first, I would very much not be hating that.
Well, you know, comic book related, the back of Dregs number one is a ad for the new run of Space Riders, which I'm really excited about.
Yeah, that looks pretty rad, actually. I gotta get the first one still.
It's good, man. I mean, it's super fucking silly. Like, it's like a comic written by, like, that, you know, like, there's that dude we all went to high school with who was, like, you know, like, we all liked metal, but he really liked metal, and he'd, like,
yep,
you know, draw goofy shit on his peachy all the time. And you could tell, like, this dude had a lot of, like, nervous energy and read a lot of heavy metal magazine. It's like a comic written by that dude, and drawn by that dude, too. Like, the art is nuts. The writing is nuts. Everything about it is fucking crazy, and I love it. So,
and if you don't know that guy, it's because of you or it.
Well, I'm just thinking, not going to say full, but Paul.
Paul?
Oh, I was thinking somebody else. But, ooh, yeah, you might be right.
Name first.
Brian.
That would be an interesting comic. That'd be a super interesting. He wrote a lot of his own stuff anyway because he was a weirdo. But
we had this friend. Well, we were still friends with him now, but we had this friend in high school, this dude, Brian, who was that guy. He was the guy that, you know, introduced the entire school to Carcass and Napalm Death and Entombed and Suffocation and everything of that ilk. And he had this penguin character named Jeremiah, and he would sit in study hall and write the adventures of Jeremiah every single day. He had notebooks full of Jeremiah stories, and they were complete nonsense.
That sounds great.
I want to read them again. I haven't seen them since high school. I would read them and I'd be like, only Brian could write this, because everybody else would be like, I don't even know what the fuck this means.
The only thing that set him apart from your, I guess, typical metalhead is, I think to this day, he maybe drank once or twice in his life. He's never touched any drugs or anything like that. Like, he's about the straightest arrow you will ever find. But this dude's mind goes places.
He had
That's
a,
awesome.
He had a funnel made of notebook paper taped to his locker door filled with kibbles and bits.
What?
It was filled with cat food.
And it was filled with kibbles and bits because I remember one time when the dean came over and smacked it off the door and spilt it everywhere. And he jumped down. And he wasn't being serious, but he, like, got down on all fours and started gathering it all. He was like, what have you done with my food?
Is he just like a
odd duck?
Yeah.
He took, like, nothing seriously. It was super funny. He didn't go down the stairs normally. He would jump down the stairs.
Like all of them. Like all 16 of them. And then slide. He was still is a weirdo, but in, like, the best way possible. I mean, he's married. He's got, like, three kids. You know what I mean? Like, super good dude, but it's just the best. It's the best only way to really put it.
I had an untold amount of fun in various art classes with him over the years.
Yeah, he sounds awesome.
Yeah. I feel like you guys would get along really well.
Yeah.
Well, I'm on board. I'm a Brian fan.
We'll have to see if we can get these Jeremiah stories out of them and fax them your way.
Right. Oh,
yeah.
I'll message them later. Oh, let's
see.
Are
they, like, just stories, or are they comics? Or
no, they're just stories.
They're just, I mean, there'd be pictures with them at times, but like there's a physical drawing of Jeremiah. There's a few of them actually.
Huh. Okay.
There's just an ongoing saga of complete nonsense. It went on for years. There's like years worth of these stories. Anyway,
I could probably find their record still. I shouldn't say shitty garage recordings, but he was in a band called Bloated Cataract. It's pretty funny.
Awesome.
At the time, they were super creative, but I mean, who knows what I would think listening to it now, but we'll see.
All right. Mine is an animated movie that I watched on Netflix this morning. It's 12 minutes long, and it's seriously the most artistically impressive thing I've seen in a while. It's a Japanese short film called The House of Small Cubes.
Oh, is it the underwater thing?
Yes.
Yeah, I watched that too.
Did you just watch it recently, or have you seen it a little...
A couple weeks ago.
Oh my god, it was so good. Like, for a completely dialogue-free, wordless little short movie, like, it says a ton. It's just so... And it was like a painting come to life. I stumbled on it this morning, and I was like, all right, 12 minutes. I have 12 minutes, and I watched it. I'm like sitting there like, this is moving me in a way I never expected. So
yeah, it's an interesting thing. It's kind of grim. It's kind of sad, but it's also kind of sweet. Like,
yeah,
it was an interesting one.
Really artistically memorable too. Like I said, it was like a painting that just kind of came to life. And I was looking for that. I don't know if you remember the movie. I think it won an Oscar. The Triplets of Belleville. It was a French animated film. I was looking for that because it used to be on Netflix. And I was like, I feel like watching that. I still have yet to watch it and couldn't find it.
That one's great.
Is it?
Yeah, I actually own that. I liked it quite a bit.
I still want to see that. I'm going to have to look for it on one of the other two. But yeah, House of Small Cubes. If you have 12 minutes, and you should certainly watch it.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Well, I mean, I guess I'll have to try and find something here. The other day, I got a message on my phone telling me that one of my games on my Steam wish list was on sale, so I bought the Turing Test for $10. I've only played it for about a half hour, so I don't know exactly that it's going to be amazing, but for anyone out there who's ever played Portal, it's kind of similar to that. It's just a first-person puzzle-solving game. Basically, the story is you're on Europa, and there's a facility there, and all the people have seemingly disappeared, so you're running around the facility trying to find out what happened, or find them, for all I know. So it's just basically you running around solving these puzzles to open the door to get to the next part of the base. I mean, it's... The graphics are amazing. The game's really fun. There's been a handful of kind of challenging puzzles, only because I'm stupid and I didn't realize something really quick. But I don't know. I feel like it's going to be a fun game, so I'll just I'll go with that.
Nice.
Yeah, it was pretty decent. But so there you have it. That's our show for the week. As always, you can find me on Twitter at XOrsonX. You can find me on Snapchat at XOrsonX. You can find me on Instagram at Slevin77. You can find Brian on Twitter at Pure Rock Fury. You can find Damien at Damien Johnston. And you can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/reviewandroast. Don't forget to head to reviewandroast.com to check out our written reviews. You can also rate stuff. You can write your own reviews. You can buy your own movie tickets. You can do all kinds of sorts and stuffs. Next week will be my pick, so I don't know what it'll be. As soon as I do, I will fill everyone in. And that's going to be it. So have a good week.